If you know me at all, you know that I am passionate about influencing people. I believe that my one of my goals in life is to influence people around the planet and be part of what makes this world a better place. Now, part of that is through sales. The next couple of weeks here, we're going to really focus on business. And the reason is that, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but business is what makes the world go round. Business is what has always brought about change. And other than terrible change, like war and other things. I mean, obviously those have influenced things as well. But business, whether it's writing a book, the pen is mightier than the sword, right? Or starting a revolution by kind of going, hey, listen, this is something that can change the world. The printing press is a really good example of this. The printing press brought books and information and literature to the world, the masses. And it's something that changed everything, that influenced people. And you have the greatest potential to impact others when you learn how to influence through business. No business happens without sales. Sales have to happen. If the printing press would have been built and there was one printing press and none of them would have been sold, guess what? It wouldn't have had a large impact on the world. At least not on that time, okay? It would have been a smaller impact. It's really important that stuff is purchased, not simply made. If it's made and not purchased, companies die. So I want to kind of intro this by saying you will be uncomfortable in the next couple of videos. That's a fact. If you struggle with sales and money, you will be uncomfortable in the next couple of videos. Get ready for a ride though, because this is where a lot of change can happen. This video out of the three for this week will focus primarily on paradigms about influence, money, sales, and business. Okay, so let's just jump right into it with influence and manipulation. Well, what's the difference between manipulation and influence, or influence and manipulation? We'll basically draw a line down the center here and ask the question, kind of compare the two ideas, compare and contrast them. So influence is good for the other person. The person you're talking with, influence is good for them. Manipulation is good for me. Now I'm going to preface this. Influence could be good for somebody later on, and maybe it doesn't feel good right now. For example, when I influence my kids to eat a certain food or to go to bed early, they might not like that right now. That might not be perceived as good for them right now. I'm not talking about how it's perceived for them. I'm talking about your intent. The intention with influence is it's good for another person, long term. Manipulation, it's good for me. Next, influence is about something that fits somebody else's goals, the person that I'm talking to, or the person I'm trying to influence. It's something that fits their goals, even if they don't have those goals really understood in some ways, whereas manipulation fits my goals. So there's a huge focus in these first two points focus on the other person versus the focus on me. Thirdly, if I fail, that's fine. With influence, if I fail, that's fine, because the other person has autonomy. The other person can make a choice, and we respect people when we influence them. With manipulation, if I fail, I'm upset. I've failed. And I'm a failure because I didn't get what I want. So often, this comes into a lot of emotion. There can be emotion with influence. There should be emotion in everything that we do, okay? There's emotion with influence. Having said that, the emotion with manipulation is anger at the other person and anger at yourself because you're trying to control things. It's all about control. Whereas influence is not primarily about control. Influence is about making the world a better place and acting according to values and helping other people understand that. With influence, you respectfully listen. With manipulation, you push your agenda. I'm going to repeat that. With influence, we respectfully listen because we can't tell what other people's goals are. We don't know what's best for another person until we respectfully listen and get what's going on. Having said that, with manipulation, why listen? I know what's best for me, and I'm going to push it regardless, and that's the way it's going to be. And as you think about this list that I'm going through, think about sales. Think about salespeople that you've known. Were they people who influenced you by listening to you really well, or were they manipulators who simply said, this is what's best for you, and I don't need to ask you questions or think in order to understand what's best for you? Those are very, very different concepts. Lastly, with influencing, a great influencer knows and understands that the other person they're talking to might know what's best for them. You might not know what's best for them. Whereas manipulators truly believe, I know what's best, this person's an idiot on some level. And they may not say that, but a manipulator goes, I know what's best, and this person, I don't need to respect them enough to listen to them because they don't know what's best, okay? All right, let's get into this. This is a picture that I pulled up. When I was looking through images to talk about sales and business and money, this is a really common image that kind of comes up. This young guy who is just throwing money around, looks, you know, he's wearing a nice suit, obviously has paid a lot of money for his personal hygiene and attire and all that kind of stuff. And it's almost as if this guy doesn't care about anyone else. It's just all about him. That's the image that really comes up with money a lot of the time. It was difficult to find images that weren't aggressive, the images that weren't focused on self and just getting everything that you want, and which it comes to the more manipulative side. And our society has tied in money with manipulation a lot. Money with getting what you want, forgetting about the world. It's not about delayed gratification, it's about instant gratification. And those are a lot of the ideas that people have about money. That's the way it's presented in commercials. They're playing on emotions, which we're going to get to in a little bit. That's how other marketers have influenced us. But what I want to ask you here is, what is your understanding of money? What have you been told about money? Okay, and I'm going to ask these three questions. These are three questions that I'm going to get you to do for yourself in the third video. It's one of my action steps for you, but I'm going to go through it really quickly right now. What have you been told about money? Have you been told that money corrupts? It doesn't grow on trees? Have you heard, we're not the Rockefellers? We're not made of money? Have you heard that money is the root of all evil, or the love of money is the root of all evil? So that's the first, what have you heard? Then secondly, what have you seen from other people's? What have you seen modeled to you? Is it the rich, young, foolish kid who wastes money and hurts others to get it? Fast cars and fast women, or shopping sprees and lack of connection with the real world, with a little puppy in hand and a tiny purse, or whatever the image that you have of a man or woman that doesn't have a good understanding of money, or is hurting other people, and simply about self-indulgence. So that's, what have you seen? What have you modeled? How about your parents? What have you seen or modeled? What have you seen modeled with them? Were they good with money? Were they bad with money? Did they fight over money? Was it a point of contention? And then lastly, what are your own experiences? Have you had bad debt? Have you spent like crazy? Have you had a struggle with an addiction, like a purchase addiction, a shopping addiction? This can be similar to alcohol, right? Alcohol on its own is not good or bad. It has a chemical formula. It's a certain product that has become alcoholic through a certain process. That's it. It's not good or bad. It is what it is. Having said that, alcohol has been this really evil thing in North America for a really long time. Not because it's bad, but because of how people have used it. So is it similar to alcohol where you think it's bad? Is it similar to like how some people have thought dancing is bad, dancing is evil? I actually heard a joke once where somebody said, my parents told me that to never have sex because it might lead to dancing. We've kind of considered that dancing is this evil thing, right? Well, dancing is dancing. It's moving your body. But how do we use it? Things can be used for good or ill, and we're going to talk about that. Is it that maybe you haven't had very much in your own life? Was it that you were always giving it away to your own harm? Your own experiences play into how you think about money. This was actually the image that I found that wasn't tied to aggression. Wasn't tied to somebody hurting somebody else or something like that, or just being manipulative with money or not careful with money or simply squirreling it away like piggy banks. You need to value money and think of every dollar as an investment. This is where you need to help yourself and gain an understanding of money. You need to value it and think of every dollar as an investment. So the question is, why would you tip 50% on a meal? If you buy a coffee for $5 and spend $2.50 on a tip, why does that make sense? You will not often see wealthy people doing this. And wealthy people get a reputation sometimes of being misers or miserly or cheap. And I would disagree with that. My experience with wealthy people is that they're typically thrifty. They understand the value of money because it took so much to earn it. So they have begun to see every dollar as a small investment. And they ask themselves, what will give me a return on this investment? Is the return I want in this, the money that I give to, I don't know, a property that I purchase or to somebody that has value and I want to help grow in some ways, that's an investment in who a person is maybe. Or a property to grow my money. But wealthy people will struggle to give a ton of money as a tip. Why? Because they've worked hard for this money. And they ask themselves, what is this money moving towards? Where is it going? It's not something I need to do, so why would I do it? And by the way, North Americans are the only culture on the planet that tip. As far as I understand, I've lived in a few different countries. I've never tipped in other countries. It's only been Canada and the U.S., in Mexico sometimes, depends where you're at and what you're doing and how much of a tourist you look like. Start to spend money on your own learning and growth because it is investing in the long term. Know that I try to spend about $30,000 on my own personal growth every year, and this is I'm trying to grow this every year. So every year I'm going to try to spend a little bit more. And some tips to help you understand money and the value of money in some ways is simply carry cash instead of credit or debit cards. Because when you have a debit or credit card, money simply is this idea. That's all it is. And when you see cash in hand, it's still an idea, but when you have cash in hand, you can kind of look at it in a different way and go, wait a second, I'm losing something here. When I spend a dollar or two or five or 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, it's going out of my hand. It's going out of my pocket in some way. Have a budget and simply be aware of what's happening to your funds. Most people discover they spend way more than they thought on useless junk. Here's another quick thought on money and paradigms. You need to give and you need to receive in every area of life to live a balanced life, okay? If you don't give or if you don't receive, there's a lack of balance there. And if you aren't investing in other people on some level, or if you are not receiving money, and this comes to sales paradigms and money paradigms, then there's something going on. There's something wrong in your life if you're not receiving money, okay? And simply receiving it from an employer, that's like a really, it's not very tactile. You're not really getting something from that employer. They're not handing it to you. They're not giving you cash. It's kind of just deposited into your bank account and you see it there. And I think that the more we handle money, the more visceral it becomes, the more tactile it becomes, the more we can go, wait a second, what is this? And we can think about it. Instead, it's like, kind of like death. We don't want to think about death, so we just ignore it. And the same thing happens with money. We simply want to ignore it. We don't want to think about it. We're afraid of it. So I'm going to talk about how I think about money. I'm not particularly handy. I can get things done. There are a lot of things that I've done around my house, especially early on under my marriage. But ask my brother, and he would definitely back my statement that I'm not particularly handy. Things I do are fairly ugly, okay? Having said that, I do like a good tool. The tools that I use on a consistent basis, like my computer, I've got a really nice computer. Why? Because it's my tool. I like good tools. I like tools that have a lot of purposes. And I actually have a Leatherman, as in the picture here. Actually, my Leatherman is actually quite similar to this Leatherman. And I take it every time I leave my house for a camping or backcountry trip. It is indispensable. It is so valuable, this tool. Now, money is like a tool. Actually, it is a type of tool. And just like a tool, it can be used for harm or good. It could be used to hurt somebody or it could be used to save somebody's life. So on my Leatherman, if you see the blade coming out right out down the middle at the bottom there, I've got a Leatherman and I keep the knife specifically extremely sharp. It's so sharp that I can shave my face with it. And I don't use it for anything. Anything. I take it with me, and because I have another knife that I use for carving or doing other things around the campsite or when I'm backcountry camping, but I use my Leatherman only in an emergency situation. I keep it there in case we have to have like a minor surgery that we have to conduct on ourselves when we're out there, or we need to do something with skin that and we want something that's going to be clean. I keep that knife specifically for that. I don't use it for other things. Okay, I save it. That could save a life. Using a tool in the right way there. If look at the scissors on the left-hand side there. What if you were in a car and, I don't know, like, let's think about the ridiculous, okay? So somebody goes off a bridge in a vehicle and they're in a lake and they're starting to sink and somebody's seatbelt is caught. That pair of scissors could save a life in that moment, could they not? The pair of pliers, the screwdrivers, you see different tools there, a saw, all of those things could be really useful and actually improve somebody's life in many ways. This tool could also be used for harm. That knife could be used to kill. The pliers could be used to break fingers. You could use this tool in many ways for harm. Does that make the tool good or bad? It doesn't make it anything. It's still just a tool. It's how people are using it. If you put this tool in the hands of a toddler who doesn't understand how to use it, this is dangerous. They might put it in their mouth. They might do other crazy things with it. Put it into the hands of someone who knows it well. Put it into the hands of my brother, who's a carpenter, finishing carpenter, builds guitars. It becomes an incredible tool. It could be used for saving lives, helping people, becoming far more efficient in what we do. That's what a tool is. What I want to encourage you to do is start to see money as a tool. What could money do? And start to become greater than a toddler in your understanding of money. If you have the understanding of money that a toddler has, it's a dangerous tool in your possession. So start learning, start growing, start becoming who you need to become to use money, this tool, in proper ways, okay? I have a life motto. With the things I use infrequently, like if I use something once a year, I don't spend a lot of time, energy, money, effort, or education on those types of things, generally speaking, okay? So for example, like a rake, I don't know, a snow shovel. I don't do a lot of snow shoveling. I do it every once in a while, right? It's not all the time. It's only part of the year. Those kind of things, I don't really spend a ton of money or time or energy on, okay? I don't worry about those things. That's not where my priority is because I don't use it all that often. It doesn't make as big a difference to my life. Things that I use daily, things that that make a bigger difference in my life, I buy the best, I invest in myself to learn how to use them well. I'll give you some example, like my vehicle, I take care of a vehicle. My shoes, I buy really good quality shoes that are good for my feet. My nutrition, I buy non-GMO food, I buy organic foods. I'm really careful about the quality of food that I ingest because it's going in me every single day. It's making a bigger difference for me. Exercise, the kind of exercise equipment or programs I use or the way I invest in that and understand what exercise is, I spend more time and energy on that. Why? And money, because it has a bigger difference in my life. Sleep, the quality of my bed, the quality of my pillows, the quality of my sleep environment. I spend more time and energy and money and education on those things because they make a difference to me every single day. Money is a tool that you use every day, whether you understand it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you're afraid of it or not. Is it not time to really invest in your understanding of money so that you are in control of your money instead of feeling completely out of control, not understanding what it's about? It's something you use all the time. So prepare yourself for that. And in my opinion, there are two purposes for money. One is to grow and help yourself. The other is to grow and help others. Now, when you're growing and helping yourself and growing and helping others, when both are happening, you'll feel great. When only one is happening, you'll struggle. If neither are happening, you will be miserable. Start using the tool to grow and help yourself and grow and help others. Okay, let's jump into business a little bit. Business is one of, in my opinions, the highest callings a human being can have is to run a business. Business people are problem solvers, first and foremost. The problems that we have in the world are solved by business-minded people, generally speaking. The best businesses are the best at solving problems. And why is it that entrepreneurs have the potential to make far more money than employees? I mean, employees will complain and whine and have problems and say they've got problems with people that have money or people who are business owners, not because money is bad, but because employees often want more. And often employees want more than they deserve. Not all the time, but that often happens. So why do entrepreneurs make more money than employees or have the potential to make more money than employees? One is that they're bringing far more value to the marketplace. entrepreneurs bring far more value to the marketplace than an employee. They're solving more problems. Entrepreneurs act in courage rather than being stopped by fear. They take their life and matters into their own hands. They should be paid more. They think outside the box. They understand delayed gratification. Instead of wanting simply a paycheck every week or two or three or four or whatever, how often someone gets paid, an entrepreneur understands delayed gratification. If I put money and time and energy into myself and into this business idea, I can create solutions for many families, more than just mine. I can solve problems and I can make more money. It's an investment. And entrepreneurs make more money than employees because at least have the potential, because they are able to manage others and influence others in really unique ways. And the entrepreneurs who are not making more money are not doing some of these things, okay? That's the key of that slide and what I want to talk about. So I just want to talk about some of the advantages of business. And honestly, if somebody is watching this and they're not in business, I encourage you to think about business, even on a part-time basis, because you will influence the world to a greater degree than if you are not in business. So what are some advantages of business? These are actually, this list, I go back to this list every once in a while. It's played a really incredible role in my life as an entrepreneur. This is what really got me thinking about doing business on my own. I was reading a book and this list transformed me. It's not the exact list. I brainstormed my own list, but it gave a small list, and I went, this is so important. And I actually read this list every once in a while to remind myself about the importance of business. When you run a business, you support the economy. You grow the economy. It's good for our country. So if you're a patriot, if you're somebody who's patriotic, who loves your country, that's one way to make a difference for your country, a positive difference. Secondly, you provide jobs for people. You are allowing people to live and realize their dreams and grow. You're supporting families in your community because you provide jobs for people. Even if it's just one job, if you only employ one person or two people, you are supporting them. That's such a beautiful concept. Thirdly, you can make a ton of money and give it away. And you know what? Business owners understand more about money than government officials. They understand more about money than charitable organizations. So you can often give your money in a significant way better than governments or charities. So your dollar, you have more dollars, but every dollar can go further. It can make a bigger difference in your community. I really believe that. I believe that you can change your family tree. When you create wealth, you start to change future generations. I was talking about charities, but listen, read stories about biographies. I'm going to give this in my action steps in the third video, but when you read about other people, like the Rockefellers, John D. Rockefeller J.P. Morgan and people like that, their children became leaders of organizations that simply gave money away. If you look at many of the first universities, the first libraries, Benjamin Franklin started the first library, gave it to people. There are all these ideas where wealthy people see a need and they can meet that need. Think about Bill Gates and all the crazy things he's doing for trying to help people. Wealthy people often have an ability to make a difference in the world far greater than others. And part of that is maybe you don't do it, but your kids do it. And instead of running only a business, they can run some kind of philanthropic venture, which is really exciting. When you learn about money and you change your family tree, you are learning and growing. And what you can do is you can start to teach others. So you can help your employees grow as humans and sages, people becoming wise. You have far more influence in your company, again, because you're paying their wage. You can say, hey, listen, I want to invest in you. Go off for a week and learn and grow. Learn about your money. Go to a conference and learn. Read these books. And people are going to be more open to that because you've learned it and you understand it. People will listen to you far more, okay? And on that vein, you have far more influence in your community. I love that as I grow in wealth, I have more influence in my community and people look at me and listen to me and they'll ask me about things. I've got somebody that I know that's it's worth quite a bit of money, probably close to $100 million. And they live in a small town kind of area. And I when I was getting to know this person, I read some online statement. I Googled them and then tried to see who is this person. Their name came up often in their town's minutes. When the town was making big decisions in their town, they often asked this person for their advice because they're a respected member of the community. Now, this person does have a lot of wisdom and they're great, a great human being. But really, the reason people listen to them initially is because they've got money. If you want to influence the world, a great way to do that is to have wealth. Create wealth through business. Lastly, when you not only are you paying people directly for their work for you and you're supporting families, but indirectly, when you instead of mowing your own lawn or fixing your own, I don't know, washing machine or whatever it is, what you can do is you can start to support other families. When you make a lot of money and you're realizing that, hey, wait a second, I make $1,000 an hour for my work, and this person is only going to charge me $100 an hour to do this job in my house, why would I do it myself and take 3 hours to do it when this other person can do it for an hour and it's cost me $100, but I made $900 over that hour because I spent $100 and made $1,000? Or do I spend 3 hours of myself on it and lose $3,000? You, business people think this way, okay? And this way you're supporting more families. When you can hire many people in your life to clean your house and cook and do all these things, then what you're doing is you are building your community again. You are supporting your community in really unique ways. I love these ideas. And when I look through this list, I go, wow, business is a high calling. Business is a high calling because there's so much responsibility there. It's a beautiful, beautiful calling for people. The business leaders, the good business leaders in our world, are some of the best people in our world. Not all the time, but often that's the case, in my opinion. So again, I was talking about what your time is worth. This is something you need to do. How much do you make an hour in your business? And if you're making 20 cents an hour in your business, you're doing it wrong, okay? You're not doing it very well. Learn how to do it better. But when you start getting up to the $100 range per hour in your business, you should be hiring someone else to do certain things. Business owners, again, think this way. Earn lots of money per hour and then pay others to do other things around your yard. Whether it's gardening or landscaping, maybe you love doing those things. And I'm not saying give all the jobs away even if you want them. No. If you love gardening, garden. That's fine. But don't waste your time. There's a great story of somebody who is trying to hook up their own computer. This CEO of a company that makes something like, it's made thousands of dollars an hour. And They wasted an entire day trying to work on their own computer instead of hiring somebody for $50 or $100 to take care of their computer in 30 minutes, and then they're all done. We've got to think wisely about these things. And you know what? There's another thought here, and that is, are you selfishly stealing from the benefit of others by doing things on your own? When you hire somebody to come in and work on your dishwasher, I don't even know if that's the right tool set for that, okay? Probably isn't, just for this image it was taken. But are you stealing from other people? It's stealing from the benefit of others when you're doing it yourself. So you're not making enough money, as much money now, and you're stealing from others supporting their own families. Why do it yourself when you could help others and make your own life better? It's improving everyone's life. I really believe this. Okay, let's get into business in a kind of a different form. What are the two major types of business? Now, these are according to Mark. These aren't going to be things that you read in your next book, okay? My belief is that there are two types of business. There's product-focused businesses and service-focused businesses. Especially for small businesses, you need to think this way. Product versus service. And there are advantages and disadvantages of both. What are the advantages of products? So when you sell a car, or you sell a trinket that goes on someone's phone, or you sell, a package of something, maybe you sell oils to somebody, or you sell food, or something like that, or your restaurant. Restaurants are product and service-based. But when you sell a product, the advantage is, one huge advantage, maybe the best advantage, is that you can grow enormously. Because if you have a product-based business, you can potentially sell to 6, 7, 8 billion people, right? That's the potential if you have a product. The disadvantage of a product-based business is that when you sell a product, you have to come up with a lot of money to design the product and build the product. And so there's actually a lot of capital usually involved in product-based businesses. So for example, Tesla or some, I don't know, think about a car manufacturer, someone's producing something big. It took a lot of time and energy and money to put those ideas together before it made a penny for any of the investors. Okay? So it can take longer to manufacture and develop and create what's going on for production, okay? Think of the manufacturing process, like making a train or something. Like, that's crazy what goes into that, right? So, but the advantage is that it's scalable. You can now sell to 1,000, 1 million people within a day while you're sleeping. It can run and you can sell lots of stuff and make a lot of money, okay? There are advantages and disadvantages to a service business. So ask yourself, do I have a product or service? A service business is based on you offering the service or a person offering the service. The advantages of service businesses are that you can start up for almost nothing. Like, so for me with coaching, once I had my education, once I had my knowledge, once I built some businesses, and once I've done these things, now I can invest in other people. And really, when somebody pays me $1 for my service, almost 100% of that dollar can go into my pocket because I'm not paying for a lot of other stuff. Now, I do have office expenses. I do have other expenses, but really, I'm not paying to make the product. I've already got the product. It's in my head, and I can simply help people. And so that service is something, the advantage to that is that I can make a lot of money quite quickly and not have a lot of capital involved in the initial startup costs for my business. The disadvantage, a major disadvantage of a service-based business is that it's very difficult to scale unless you're creative because there's only one of me. And so I can only take on a certain amount of clients. Even if I worked every hour of every day and never slept, I could still only take on a certain amount of clients. Because of that, it's not very scalable at first glance, at first blush, okay? So let's think about this. And maybe I'll share my story a little bit. So I went from my business concept, the way I've built my business is it started off with service and has moved into product. What I started off with is service, where I didn't have a lot of startup capital, but I was investing in people, I was making some money. And once I grew my business to a certain degree, I started investing in products. I started selling videos and sales programs and other things to people. And now I can scale it. Now there are other ways to scale as well. So what I'm trying to do is both. I'm trying to have a service and product-based business where I do things that I really enjoy doing. I really enjoy investing to people and spending one-on-one time with them. And then I also want to grow my business and scale it. So in that, I can do some internet marketing, Facebook marketing, develop funnel systems, and people can buy my products even when I'm sleeping. Writing a book is a great way to do this, having a product where all of a sudden now my books can sell whether I'm awake or not, whether I'm on holidays or not. So you've got to ask yourself, what's best for me and what do I want to focus on? If you have a service-based business, one thing you need to focus on is how can I also sell products in this business? If you have a product-based business, maybe you want to ask yourself, wait a second, how could I service in some ways people, my clientele or my customers, my customer base, and make a little bit more money at the beginning? So these are different thoughts that I have that I want you to think about. Think about whether you have a service or product-based business. How could you improve service or products, or how could you change and maybe take on some of the other? If you're product-based, how could you take on some services and vice versa, okay? I just want to finish off this video, and it's gotten a little bit long here, but I just want to finish off this video by saying, if you don't see yourself as a salesperson, you are deceiving yourself. A lot of people have paradigms about sales and they're afraid of sales. And we're going to talk about this a little bit in the next video. But if you don't believe you're a salesperson, you're deceiving yourself. And if you don't believe sales is important for your business, you are deceiving yourself. No business gets up and running or does any kind of profit if they're not selling. I've got a lot of clients that believe, oh, I because I've got a great product, it will sell itself. Nothing sells itself. Nothing. I challenge you to find something that sells itself without sales being part of the process, okay? You need to learn sales. And again, like I suggested, you've been doing sales your whole life. So let me give you some examples. When you were a baby, guess what you were doing? Every time you screamed, when you were hungry or you were hurt or you were sad or you were tired, you were trying to sell your parents. You didn't even know what you were doing, right? But you were selling the idea that my needs are important, please meet them. And you know what? You probably did a pretty good job of that if you had decent parents. When you've dated somebody, you were selling yourself on some levels. We don't go on a first date with somebody with looking like a mess. We typically sell ourselves a little bit. We make sure that we've clipped our nails and brushed our teeth and have done different basic personal hygiene, right, to take care of ourselves. And we're selling ourselves on somebody. What about marriage? When you ask somebody to marry you, you're basically, it's a sales proposition of saying, hey, listen, it's worth being with me. There's value in being with me long term, right? What about influencing kids to eat their broccoli? That's a sales process. You're influencing somebody. You're saying, hey, listen, I've got an idea and I want you to buy into this idea. Or what about putting a kid to bed, going to bed at a certain time. I sell to my kids every day. You can sell to animals. It's in your best interest to listen to me and stay close to me because you won't get hit by a vehicle. So pay attention, heal. Family trips. When you're making decisions on where to go for your family trip, where to spend Christmas, which vehicle to purchase, where to live. You are involved in sales and influence every single day of your life. You have either been, listen to this very carefully, you have either been a good influencer or a terrible influencer for years, your entire life, okay? The question that I have is, is it now time to become better at it? Because when you understand sales and business, you understand influence and value. And when you understand influence and value and people management, you can start to invest in people around you on a completely different level. And you'll be far more valuable to your charitable organizations and your families and anything else that you're involved in, okay? What I'm gonna suggest, even though this is scary, is go into this with both feet. This is a worthwhile thing for anyone to learn.